Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, big day on WIP. Spike Eskin debuting along with Mike and Jack later today, 2 to 6. Great to be with you. We're also giving away Aerosmith tickets, which makes this a big week on WIP. Because not just today, but this entire week on our show, Aerosmith tickets on the line. Let's hope the Phils, moving forward, don't do what they've done in the last 2 weeks and get back to below 500. Hold on, let me lay out. That's how you do! Even Ben Davis knows I'd be a great radio disc jockey. Let's welcome our guy, Mr. Ben Davis. Good morning, Benjamin.
Top of the morning to you.
And all the rest of you, sir.
Nope.
All of it.
That's wrong.
Every single part of it. Every play at the plates, Bryce Harper singles, Jeff Hoffman doing Ben Davis stuff, blocking the plate.
Get off my plate.
Get off my plate. So, Ben, how that thing being legal, that surprised me.
What is the goal of every defense in any sport?
To stop the opposition.
Thank you from scoring.
Who's bigger, you or Jeff Hoffman?
Jeff Hoffman.
Jeff Hoffman is huge, man.
He's bigger than
you. He's 6'7", Jeff Hoffman.
Large.
Yeah, I know. Ben's pretty large.
Ben's big, but Jeff Hoffman's 6'7". Ben's not 6'7".
And
Jeff Hoffman's thick,
too. I used to be 6'5".
Oh,
I used to be.
Kids, marriage, I don't do it to you.
Now my pants are a little longer.
I'll tell you what. Just imagining Jeff Hoffman being...
He's a lot bigger.
Larger than, you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's frightening.
He's big.
Yeah, wild play at the plate. Of course, the Phils also get the win with the Pache hit. So, Ben, there was a lot going on in that game, including the early part, obviously dominated by two contrasting realities. Great pitching by the Phils, highlighted by Aaron Nola, who was awesome. And then the bats, you know, for the most part, not doing much, just about the whole game. Your thoughts on last night's game and, you know, where we're at with this, you know, when 17 games in, 9-8 now.
Aaron looked incredible. Like, he was 7-3. He was flat out awesome. I know they talked about on the postgame show a lot about his curveball. His fastball command was impeccable. Like, he was down. When he missed down or he missed off the plate. And that's where he needs to be. Yes, his curveball was good. But we got to score some runs, man.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to score some runs.
Yeah, it's been pretty tepid with the offense lately.
Tepid?
Yeah. Is that not a good enough word?
It's been non-existent.
Okay, there it is. Well, they got two runs. I wasn't going to say that. No, I hear you. They're not scoring much. They're not hitting much.
They've got no offense to speak of, yet they're still over 500. You do anticipate that this offense will turn on.
I don't anticipate. Right? I know it'll happen.
Yeah. So when that happens, we're in great shape.
Yes.
But how long till that happens?
You sound a little frustrated.
I am frustrated. Yeah. I think everyone's frustrated. I think they're frustrated.
You can see they're frustrated.
Yeah.
I mean, when Schwarber hits a pop fly and you see him in disgust slump his shoulders and toss the bat aside, Bryce Harper is playing frustrated baseball.
I don't want to see Bryce.
Every second we see him out there, he looks frustrated.
I thought there's a chance Bryce could hurt his wrist or his hand when he slammed that bat down to the ground. And just the way he
slammed it hard.
He did,
man.
because the bat ultimately is not going to move.
It's not going to give it all.
It's not going to give.
Yeah.
So it's like your wrist better get out of the way or something. So, you know, I mean, Ben, look, this is what they are. This is what they are. Now, they're pretty good, by the
For
way.
Now.
They're now a half game out of a wild card spot. So, you know, like, they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I'll say it again and again and again and again and again. They're going to make the playoffs, but they are a flawed team. They're inconsistent. We've seen that in the first 17 games. We'll probably see it in the next 100 and whatever, 40-some games. It's what they are. All right, let's go to the phones. A lot to do from last night. Obviously, the Devontae Smith contract as well. What ifs in history? What do you got for big answers there? And the Flyers, just a disastrous night for them last night as Washington, Detroit, and Pittsburgh. all won their games. So the Flyers are absolutely up against the brink of elimination. Drew in Westchester. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, good morning, folks. Joe, I got to follow up on one thing from last week. Did you win your fantasy basketball league? I know you had on your list to set your lineup one day.
Good question.
What was your question?
Did you win your fantasy basketball league? I know you had on your list to set your lineup one day. I just got to find out if you won or not.
Let me just say this.
Uh-oh.
Next year, okay? Next year, this is the preseason speech I'm going to give my players.
Enough is enough. Start playing with some jam in here. Let's go.
I'm disgusted with the whole freaking lot of them. I drafted Mikal Bridges, and he let me down. Even though he played every game, I needed more from him. And I love Mikal Bridges, but come on. No, I finished in fourth place. Fourth out of
okay,
nine.
Okay, so you're like the 2016 Eagles. You're just building some momentum.
You know what? The problem is I haven't won in a long time, but I still consider myself. Here's the deal, Drew. I know empirically I'm a great fantasy basketball player. I just don't put the time into it anymore. I don't have time. I mean, granted, I'm going to go play golf for 5 hours today and listen to Howie Roseman's press conference while I'm out there on the golf course, but I don't have as much time as I used to. My friends are losers. They have time. They don't have lives, so a couple of them win.
All right, I had to get some answers there. I'll move on to the Phils. So just one thing that confuses me a little bit, and maybe Ben would have some insight here. It just boggles my mind a little bit that they seem so committed, the organization, to Johan Rojas, but they seem to only view Pache as like a fourth outfielder. And Pache was like a higher-ranked prospect coming up than Rojas ever was.
Much higher.
I'm just confused why they just don't seem to want to give Pache a chance because he's not that far removed.
Let's ask that question to Ben. I don't know. Ben, what's the answer to that?
I think it's an organizational thing because he did come up through the ranks of the Phillies.
Rojas.
Correct.
Right.
And they like to pride themselves on organizational development. Hmm. And understandably so. He is exceptional in the outfield. But I think they're pretty much – you know, I would give a leg up to Pache right now with regard, and he's an above, way above average defensive player.
Yes,
Pache.
Yes, he is. That's interesting. Do you think he's currently a better player? I mean, I agree with you.
So
but
is he better right now than Rojas for what we're looking for? Should this be a lot closer than what it is in center field?
It's almost like the Boston Scott, Kenny Gainwell thing. My argument with the football season was I think Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell are comparable.
Yes.
I didn't understand why one guy plays like eight times more than the other guy.
That's a great comp.
Is that a fair comp, John?
I think it's a great comp.
Right.
I mean, different
Boston
sport
Scott
and everything.
Plays against the Giants.
Like, Boston Scott would never get a shot.
Pache
gets more of a shot than Boston. I mean, Boston Scott got no shot.
Yeah.
Got no shot.
Yeah.
All right, Drew, we need an answer here. Give me a what if, my man.
You got it. What if the Eagles hired Ben McAdoo instead of Doug Peterson in 2016?
We'd be Super Bowl starved, I'll tell you that. Ben, you got to admit, that answer I had about my fantasy basketball, that's why I'd be a great politician.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just find a way to wiggle your way out of the premise of a question and go on the attack. I start blaming my friend. Like, that's brilliant.
Right? You're saying you pivot well?
Blame somebody else. Yeah. That's pretty much where we're at.
That's what they all do.
Redirect.
Redirect.
Yes, indeed.
215-592-9494. Right, up ahead, Ross Tucker joins us at 7:40. Eagles draft obviously coming up now in 9 days. Jimmy Butler talking yesterday about the 76ers and the matchup tomorrow. We'll get to that. Shaq and Charles talking about the big game tomorrow as well. Plus Daniel Jeremiah with some criticism of a player the Eagles have probably been attached to more than any other player for this draft. Who that is and what Jeremiah said, we'll get to that and more. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, it is, of course, 94 WIP.
Here's what's happening at Borgata. Don't miss out on the action. At Borgata's Poker Room, where great cards, lucky seats, and high hands bring excitement to every player, open 7 days a week. Excitement is waiting, and you are only miles away from your happy place. Experience award-winning restaurants, exciting bars and live music, big-name entertainment, and a spacious casino filled with your favorite slots and table games. The action at Borgata Hotel Casino.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, Jenna Cameron, John Ritchie. Tuesday morning, 94 WIP. Flyers backs all the way up against the wall. After Detroit, Washington, and Pittsburgh all won last night, Flyers have to win tonight. They have to win in regulation. Washington, who the Flyers play, Pittsburgh, and Detroit in two other games, one tonight, one tomorrow, all have to lose in regulation. So the odds are stacked against them, but we'll see what the Flyers can do with game 82. 215-592-9494. Reminder, big day today here on WIP as Spike Eskin debuts along with Ike and Jack, the new afternoon show. We are looking for a show name for them. So far, leader in the clubhouse, should I say it again? It's Jack and two Jills. I'm just saying.
Leader in your clubhouse.
Yeah, leader in my clubhouse. But give us a better name. What do you got for a name?
I've heard it's polling well so far. So, yeah, we're
sure.
In good shape.
I'm sure not from Mike's house it's not, though. Mike's not voting for that. All right, give us a good name for the afternoon, guys. 215-592-9494. Let's also get to, you know, the big game tomorrow night, obviously, with the Sixers. Sixers and the Heat. And, you know, I think we know Joel's, you know, he's physically fine. I mean, we think, we hope. Obviously didn't play game 82, but here we go. Start of the playoffs tomorrow night. Kelly Oubre talking yesterday, asked a question about Joel. And I think the implication with the question is probably his physicality. But I really like where Oubre takes this answer regarding Joel's mentality. Here's Oubre on Joel yesterday.
How did Joel look in practice today?
He made his shots. He looked normal. He looked like himself, you know. But you can definitely tell the seriousness in his face, you know, and in his work ethic and everything that he's doing, the way he's carrying himself. He wants to win, so it was good to see him moving and doing his thing.
I like it. I like the pivot.
Purpose.
Yep. I like that a lot.
Moving with purpose.
It's good stuff. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's talk to John right now. John, good morning, buddy.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Doing super.
Hold on, Tiger. We'd like to say something to you.
Good morning. And thank you for joining me.
Just because we had three good mornings there in about 3 seconds, I figured I'd add a fourth. So, hello.
No problem. Yeah, I'd like to talk. It is a good morning after the Phillies win last night. Pache, it's good to see him get a moment like that. But in my opinion, it really shouldn't be coming down to that against a team like the Rockets.
That's correct. That's right.
And like one of the other callers was talking about, I think I'm done with the dimwit experience here. I just don't understand when you got guys like Sosa and Pache as right-handed hitters who have proven they've done decent when playing, when the starters get a break, they continue to go with Witt and he has come up small so far this year.
Well, he has very small. Look, he's playing about half the games. I'll say this, John, it's way too early to say, let's not play that guy at all. I mean, way too early. And that would probably send a ripple through the clubhouse that, if I had to guess, would not be appreciated, particularly by veteran players. So I would give Rob Thompson more, just more grace on this one. Because, you know, one of the things I think he does well is have the pulse of the clubhouse and do what's in their long-term best interest. I agree with you, there are times where he plays the wrong player to win a game that night. And maybe he should amend that a little bit. But I also think he's got a pretty good feel for what gets you not only to game 163, meaning the postseason, but deeper into the postseason. And you don't just abandon Whit Merrifield after 2 weeks. Yes, right now he's horrible, but you got to keep giving this guy a shot.
I'm not saying completely abandon him. I'm just saying maybe give guys like Pache and Sosa a couple starts here and there in between it. As they, I mean, Ian Pache hit really well in spring training too. So I thought, and when he got the hit last night, I thought really good for him because I thought he earned a moment like that, and for him to deliver, it was good to see.
Yeah, I got you. All right, John, give me an answer for a great what if you can win the Aerosmith tickets.
Oh my. What if Joe Carter fouled that low inside pitch off?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Man, you want to take a crack
really
at that?
Really going depressing
no,
with these,
exactly.
Huh?
Exactly. Thank you, James. I don't
I got to write that down.
Joe Carter.
Joe Carter foul ball. So let me answer that.
I think there's a better what if from that game, right? I mean, what if he didn't go to Mitch is the what if from that game.
Yeah. Well, that is the ultimate
what if. That's the ultimate what if from that game.
That's correct, yeah. I was going to be a wise ass and say if Joe Carter fouls the ball off the next pitch, he hits for a home run.
Probably, honestly. The way Mitch was going, he probably would.
Guys, you know? I was 15 years old. I burst out in tears. Did you cry, Ben? You were about the same age.
No, I didn't cry.
You were more of a man as a teenager than I was.
I'm still wondering how he kept that damn ball fair.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, that pitch down and in, and how he didn't yank it foul. I mean, it was, I don't know. It was just heartbreaker.
Absolute crushing.
Because everything was leading up to that moment like, damn, this team is doing it.
I know. Lenny got the home run in the seventh. And if people probably forget, the Phillies were down 5-1 entering the seventh.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt dead-ish. 5-1, 9 outs remaining in the season. And then a couple guys get on base. Lenny hits the 3-run homer to make it 5-4. Mm-hmm. Then a couple more guys get on base. I think you get a single up the middle, take a 6-5 lead, carry that into the ninth. And then obviously all hell broke loose in the ninth inning. Yeah. Just the absolute freaking devastator. Let's talk to Eric and Cherry Hill. Good morning, Eric.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Eric?
I just want to talk the draft real quick.
Sure, let's do it.
I don't think that we should reach. I don't think that we should trade up necessarily for, an offensive lineman. But, one of the big storylines was Barkley. And, like John was saying, I think we need to play to that, I guess if you want to call our offense, our strongest asset right now.
So this is the go get an offensive lineman argument?
Well, like I said, I don't want to reach. I don't want to, go crazy about it, but, in a way, I feel like you're kind of like not going with offense just to not go without, like, take a lesser defensive player.
Well, look, these things always get a little tricky because every organization has two objectives in mind. The first is to get the best player available, and the second is to get a position of need. And if they can coincide, that's great. They sometimes do, sometimes don't. I mean, Eric, we know this. They're not going to draft I was going to say quarterback. I won't say that. They're not going to draft a running back if the best player on their board is a running back at pick 22. They're just not going to do it. So here's my main thing. I'm tired of hearing about where the Eagles are strong and let's make it stronger. Okay? I want them to draft defense. I understand there is a guard issue right now. If Steen can't start, look, we don't know if Steen can start. Maybe Tyler Steen starts and you got your five offensive linemen. And then in particular, I'm saying, why are we talking about offensive linemen? I mean, I just think, Eric, at every level of defense, they could use help. And all this offensive line talk, frankly, irritates me. Because it's too much. It's like, yeah, we're strong there. Let's get stronger. What about the defense that stunk last year? Yes, they've made some adjustments. I'm not saying they've abandoned it, but I want more. I need more because I think the team needs more. Eric, give me a big-time answer, my man. A great what if. What do you have?
Oh, yeah, love him or hate him. He's the GOAT. And what if Drew Bledsoe never got injured?
Yeah, it's an interesting one also. The Bledsoe injury drilled by
Mo Lewis, right?
Mo Lewis,
yeah,
of the New York Jets drilling Drew Bledsoe, paving the way for Tom Brady. All right, up ahead in 1 minute, there is a defensive player the Eagles have been attached to quite a bit in many mock drafts. That player under the microscope for Daniel Jeremiah, and not exactly a ringing endorsement from Jeremiah. We'll get to that coming up in 1 minute's time.
If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, bar, or casino business and you're looking for a point-of-sale system that can truly make a difference, call PDQ Signature Systems. PDQ POS, they've been the top-rated restaurant management system for over 35 years, because they offer everything: mobile POS, self-service kiosks, analytical reporting, contactless functionality, online ordering, loyalty and delivery management, and the best service and support in the industry. PDQ POS is not only the fastest, easiest, and most reliable POS available, but they'll save you time, effort, and money so you can focus on what really matters, your customers. Whether you have a single location restaurant or thousands of locations, Joe Flynn and his team will create a custom game plan to fit your individual business needs. Trust me, if you want a point of sale system that will truly make a difference, you need PDQ POS. So what are you waiting for? Join the thousands of companies that have already made the switch and go all in with PDQ Signature Systems. Schedule your free demo and business consultation today at PDQPOS.com. That's PDQPOS.com.
All right, Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie on this Tuesday morning. Busy time in Philly sports. Really all four teams on the table. Howie and Nick Sirianni will speak later. Their pre-draft, meet with the media this afternoon. Something I would certainly imagine we would carry here live on WIP. That's going to be during the new show with Spike Eskin hosting along with Jack and Ike from 2 to 6.
2:30, I believe, is the time.
The presser? Mm-hmm. Good deal. All right, let's listen to Daniel Jeremiah. So a lot of talk has been about offensive linemen. But we also understand corner is a need and a spot where Nate Wiggins, the cornerback, has been attached to the Eagles in a variety of mock drafts. Daniel Jeremiah sizing up Nate Wiggins. And I'll tell you this, this is not exactly what I'd call a ringing endorsement here. Here is Daniel Jeremiah just starting off the process of talking to Nate Wiggins.
Your final pick here, DJ, was one that you made in your most recent mock draft that, like, you made it, but you didn't love it.
Yeah, and you know, I think you phrased it well there. Nate Wiggins is really talented. I could make a case if you just watch him cover, he's the best pure cover guy in the entire draft. Out of Clemson, he's long, he's lean, he ran the 4.2s. You know, he showed up at the combine, he was in 173 pounds. He put some weight back on for his pro day. That's not the issue for me, but I have him going to the Philadelphia Eagles because they have a screaming need at the position and he can really cover.
All right, now, so far, no major red flags in what he said because he's telling you he might be the best covered guy in the draft. And obviously on the surface, that sounds great. And listen, maybe this will be the pick and maybe he'll be a terrific cover corner. But what Daniel Jeremiah is leading up to is where he goes here. He believes Wiggins has a legit flaw. Listen as he continues on.
Personally, I've just kind of gotten away and I've kind of pushed guys down over the last several years that aren't tackling corners. Like you used to be able to play with guys who didn't really tackle. And I think, you know, my theory on it is you know, when McVay kind of took over this league and Shanahan took over this league and then their tree expanded massively, reduced splits, bringing corners into run fits more so than they've ever been before. And you can't hide those guys anymore, man. And they're just going to leave him unblocked. You're going to make him the force player. And it's a nightmare. So to me, I've pushed those guys down a little bit, those pure cover corners that I didn't trust to be able to get guys on the ground. And I'm not talking about being a trained killer in there and knocking the guy's mouthpiece out. I'm just get him on the ground. I don't care how you do it, but just find a way to get him on the ground. So that was my hang up with him as a player.
All right, John. So that's, you know, obviously Jeremiah at NFL Network talking about Nate Wiggins. We've seen these kind of guys before. Asante Samuel was one of them. Drove me nuts.
I mean, Darius Slay is kind of one of them.
He is kind of one of them. Now, look, would I take Darius Slay if I could draft him right now and get him 10 years ago? Sure. Do I know Nate Wiggins is going to be as good at cover corner as Darius Slay? I don't. He probably won't be. I mean, Darius Slay has been one of the best, obviously, in the last 10 years. John Wiggins as a player. I mean, he is the player most often attached to the Eagles in the mock draft.
I
do.
The cornerback, maybe. You know, the thing.
Is it a thumbs up on Nate Wiggins, a thumbs down, or a thumb sideways?
I think this should be an incredibly vibrant and waving red flag right now. Daniel Jeremiah, the red flag. Like, what he's telling us is this guy doesn't play football the way we like guys to play football. What he's telling us without saying it is this guy doesn't like to sacrifice his body. This guy doesn't like to support the run.
Yep.
This guy is, a little more passive, even in coverage. This guy is a 4.28 electronic in the 40. 4.28. He got by on speed his entire life. And now he's going to be competing against guys who are closer to his speed, and he's going to have to be better in other ways. That's where guys like this sometimes get into trouble, and I don't want to have to deal with that. I feel as though what
I'm
Daniel
surprised
Jeremiah
to hear you
told
say
us,
this. I really am.
What Daniel Jeremiah told us, and what you see when you watch him play a little bit is he doesn't want to tackle. He is more of a cover guy. He's got great anticipation for man coverage and everything. And he's going to, if he gets his hands on it, he's going to take it to the house. This guy is dynamic. But if he doesn't want to tackle and he's just not tough-minded. Yeah.
Now, Deion didn't want to. Deion's the all-time example. He's the best corner ever, and he didn't want to tackle.
Right.
So, you know, it depends how good you are at cover. I mean, I can deal with it if I got Deion Sanders. I struggle with it if I got old man Asante Samuel, and now I'm less inclined to be in the mood to watch him not be able to tackle, not choose to tackle, when you got declining skills as an actual cover corner. And, this guy's not old. He's not old man Asante. This guy's young man Nate. So, we'll see. I mean, I'll tell you this. I do know this. And I think most of us in Philadelphia can't stand that attribute. Or right. I don't know if attribute's the right term. That tendency. Like, I can't stand the Eagles corner that doesn't want to tackle. Drives me nuts. Yes.
Well, especially coming off the last Eagles game we watched. It's a particular time where after the tackling in that playoff game from the corners.
That's right.
James Bradbury in particular.
Can you imagine him declining? Can you imagine this Wiggins guy coming in here and declining a tackle in a preseason game at some point? That this is not going to work. If he doesn't want to come in here, like Sidney Brown, if he doesn't want to come in here and fly around and just put his mark on the field and other players on the other team, then you're not going to fit our expectations.
But I will say skill matters. Like, this guy's probably going to have a better future than Sidney Brown. Sidney Brown can be a missile hitting anybody and everybody, but if he can't cover, he doesn't have much use in the NFL.
Different.
Yeah, but he's still a defensive back. I mean, you got a lot to do back there. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll talk to Ross Tucker. More on the draft coming up in 5 minutes with Ross, a deep dive on the draft. Ken and Cinnaminson right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Doing great, Ken.
So my name for the afternoon show is something along the lines of, it's the new afternoon show because we don't have enough Eskins.
Yeah, it's a bad name. I give a thumbs down to that name. How about this name? Another Eskin?
You need the question that like it's like an it's just another Eskin.
No, I'm just joking, Ken. I think
are there
all
any more? Do we need to search the family tree? I don't. In all honesty, I don't really listen to that show very much. So, you guys are my thing. Look, Philly's tough watch last night. Obviously. You know, you just have to continue to tell yourself they're not gonna be this bad hitting the baseball for the entire year. But it was excruciating. It's supposed to be entertainment, and there's nothing about that's entertaining.
Than Aaron Nola, I mean, yeah, the hitting was brutal,
and the play at the plate that was super entertaining.
Yeah, that was cool,
kind of funny actually. So
Bryson Stott continues to get on base, even though it's not impressively hit balls. That was kind of neat.
Yeah, but he's hit a bunch of balls right on the button that didn't.
You're right. They go right into the glove of an opponent. I agree. It all evens out.
That's kind of the way baseball works out, right? Like you get repaid somewhere down the line. So on the draft, Joe, a couple things. First of all, I texted James last week before Ross even brought the name up. Ennis Rakestraw. Put the tape on. Ennis Rakestraw, corner out of Missouri, who's probably going to be there in the second round. This kid loves contact. He's long. He's physical. He's the exact opposite of Wiggins. And I really like him. So, but in terms of the draft philosophy, Joe, the Eagles have expended a lot of draft capital over the last three drafts on defensive players.
I think they drafted the wrong guys, Ken.
Well,
that's why I'm going back there. Look, this whole situation would be easier, for instance, if Jordan Davis was better. I think D tackle's a big need. I really do.
At some point, you got to find out. At some point,
well,
you think we didn't
find out last year when he disappeared for about 10 straight games?
But again, he was there's recency bias of the last 8 games of the season. Jordan Davis was unblockable in the first half of the year, and when him and Jalen Carter were on the field together. In the first half of the year, they were totally unblocked.
Ken, I'll give you about 5. Look, I don't remember the exact point of demarcation. I'll tell you this. My recollection, it was about 5 or 6 games of I'll call it dominance by Jordan Davis. And then remember, in a 17-game season, which means 18 games with the postseason, if he was – let's just say he was dominant for 6. I'm just taking a stab at it. That means he was not for 12.
felt like the Bills game, I felt like he was pretty good through. He had that play on Josh Allen, and then I felt like after that play, he was done.
Yeah, but, well, I agree with you after that play he was done, but I think the prior month he hadn't done much before that play. All right, Ken, Ross Tucker coming up shortly. Give me an answer here for a what if. What do you got?
What if Benedict Arnold had not been discovered in his treachery and was able to surrender West Point to the British? We might not have a United States of America.
All right, Benedict Arnold. How about that?
That's a valid point.
All right, Ross Tucker, surely. Here's a what if. What if the Sixers had it totally screwed it up with Jimmy Butler? Which leads us to today's Twitter poll question of the day, because Twitter poll question is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. The all-new 2024 Chevy Trax, it's arriving daily at Armin Chevrolet. Starts at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Look, I wish Jimmy was a Sixer. He's not. He's a Heat. Joel's a Sixer. Today's Twitter poll question. For tomorrow night's game, all things considered, who would you rather have on your team tomorrow night in the game? A, Joel Embiid, or B, Jimmy Butler? Ben, do you have a lean on this one? Because yeah. I will tell you, the closer we get to the game, the more scared I am, because I'm remembering the Jimmy Butler thing. He's an adult. He handles his business. He is an assassin in the postseason. Are you going to tell me it's Joel?
Yes.
Okay.
But I will say it's one of my favorite lines ever.
Which one?
They took him over me.
Yeah. I know.
That was freaking
he
awesome.
He drove that point home.
He
it
did.
It was awesome.
I just noticed a problem with the Heat's representation, the way that they present themselves.
Which is what?
Like, you, the way that you just said it, you can say he's a Sixer.
Yep.
You know, Jimmy Butler, he was a Sixer.
Sure.
And now he's a
Heat. Yeah, the singular.
What is that?
Well, it's because
there's no S.
Now
horrible.
He's a Heat.
You just realized this, though?
No, I didn't just realize it.
Like the Magic, the Jazz. Yeah, it's horrible.
The Heat.
Horrible.
Yeah. The Heat sounds especially bad. So, like, that might be the worst sounding
he's a Heat.
Of all.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, Magic is right there with it.
Well,
Heat,
you certainly
Magic
could
are
say,
the two worst.
Yeah, he's a Jazz would make
yeah,
no
he's
sense.
A Magic. He's a Jazz. Any of the S ones, yeah.
No, that's brutal.
No S ones.
Well, Jimmy Butler is a Heat. And he talked yesterday, looking ahead to tomorrow night. And as always, Jimmy, focused. Listen, guys, again, I lean Sixers tomorrow night. And I understand, you know, the belief in Joel, and he's a great player. But, man, Jimmy Butler, he raises his game in the postseason. He talked yesterday, looking ahead to tomorrow night.
Give us your thoughts on that next challenge for your team Wednesday night against the 76ers.
You just got to go out there and compete. Play basketball the right way. And do something very difficult, which is to win on Philly's floor. But it's a time of the year where, you know, you're going to have to do that anyways if you want to win a championship. Obviously, we're going to have to do it if we want to get to seven.
Jimmy, you feel confident that you guys will have this round last year and you guys know it can be done?
We're not the same group as last year, so we leave that where it's at. And we're moving forward with the group that we do have, but I are very confident in the guys that we do have, and we know we're capable of. So we'll see what we got whenever the time gets here.
He does talk with a lot of conviction. I mean, guys, I don't want to, like, raise the flag of total scaredness, because I'm not there. I'm just telling you, the closer we get to this game and the more I remember what this guy has done in recent years, it is worrying me about tomorrow. By the way, Spoelstra is another factor, and I want you to listen. This is a short piece of audio of Eric Spoelstra yesterday talking about tomorrow. He's got three words in here that I admire from his end. And I need the 76ers to match this, because we know Jimmy Butler will. Here is Eric Spoelstra talking. You know, Jimmy Butler used the word, you know, talking about, you know, compete. Here's Spoelstra yesterday talking about tomorrow night.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It'll be a great environment. Philly's been playing fantastic, recently. So we know what to expect up there, and that is what we say, you know, it's for competitors only, and it should be a lot of fun.
For competitors only.
That's great.
Guys, we need Joel Embiid to match every single morsel of energy, effort, focus, the whole thing on the competitiveness, because you know Jimmy Butler's going to bring it. Like, if we had a Twitter poll question, which player is more likely? I understand you might pick Joel as a better player. I get that. But if we had a Twitter poll question, which player is more likely to bring it tomorrow? No. Might not win it, but to bring it. There is no doubt.
You actually think Joel won't bring it?
John, there is no doubt Jimmy Butler is more likely to bring it. He never doesn't bring it.
He might win the poll against everyone in the NBA. Butler might win the poll if you put every player in the NBA who's the most likely to just give it 100% of what they have tonight. Jimmy Butler might win the poll in the whole NBA. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Correct. And for the Sixers to win for the Sixers to win the title, they need every ounce of everything from Joel. And make the path easier, win the freaking game tomorrow, play the Knicks, in which a series I think the Sixers would be favored, play the Bucks. Maybe it isn't even the Bucks. Maybe they don't even get there. It looks like Greek Freak's not going to start that series. You know, maybe you're getting the freaking, who is that, the Pacers.
Pacers.
Deal with the Celtics in a month. Like, there is a path. But I need Joel to match Jimmy Butler's focus and intensity. All right, let's talk some NFL.
I cannot imagine. He will not be as intense and focused as we've ever seen him with a one-game play-in. Look, he's friends with Jimmy Butler. These guys are really close. Remember, once upon a time, they were besties.
And Butler will cut his freaking heart out.
And
I'm
telling you, they both feel the same way about this game. It is time to butt heads.
Well,
this is going to be a massive,
you know what it is, Tom, John?
Boom, boom, boom. It's pound four quarters,
it's
man.
It's time for the Sixers to win.
Yes.
Because this is the game. I mean, they haven't been in this particular game. But these are the kind of moments where the Sixers have lost in recent years. Win the game.
Yeah, and I really have a good feeling, man.
And
this
by the way,
Seltzer, team.
I can't believe we're getting so fired up for a 7-8 matchup.
I know. Especially, it's the play-in tournament. I mean, you have been anti it. You know, and now we're here.
Oh,
let's go.
God. All right. Coming up in 1 minute, a deep dive on the NFL draft with Ross Tucker. By the way, if you want to comment on the Jimmy Butler thing and Joel, who you think is more trustworthy tomorrow night, who's better tomorrow night, who is more likely to bring it tomorrow night, all of that and more at 215-592-9494. Ross Tucker on the NFL draft coming up in 1 minute. 1 minute, we get to the Eagles in the draft. Hey, Jetta Camry here. Let me tell you about PI Dental Center and their decades of experience in complex dental treatment. I've been a patient at PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient there for 3 decades. With Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists. They specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. Let me make this all real simple for you. If you need year-to-year maintenance, and this is the category I've been in, know that PI Dental Center can provide it for you and hopefully keep you right there, never needing a big situation fixed. But if you got a situation right now that requires a major fix, maybe it goes back to being a kid, you never got it fixed, or more recently, an accident, a fall, you got banged up, and you want a quick solution, PI Dental Center, they can provide that solution. Visit PIDentalCenter.com. That's PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation. All right, let's talk some NFL draft now. 9 days away to the first round. Eagles will be picking in pick 22. Unless they move up or move down, we'll see where they go. Of course, on the line right now, an Odyssey NFL insider, Mr. Ross Tucker. Insider calls are presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app. Do it right now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. And for more on the draft, our guy, Ross Tucker. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, Joe. I'm enjoying listening to you guys, although Richie's cracking me up. I mean, John's all over the place. First of all, he's making fun of the Miami Heat. John transferred to play for the Stanford Cardinal.
Good point.
In college.
But you can say he is a
Cardinal. You can say that. You can. Ross, he got you right on back.
It's a tree.
Nah, he got you. Own the L.
I understand, but it still sounds better than he's a Heat.
Yeah, it does.
And then, if we're talking about Jimmy Butler or Joel Embiid, I can't remember which one it is. I'm sure Seltzer knows. But whatever movie, Indiana Jones movie, where the guy rips people's hearts out,
that is
Jimmy Butler. That is not, unfortunately, to this point, Embiid.
That's John. Right. That's right.
What movie is that where the guy –
Temple of Doom.
The second one.
Isn't that weird? I still think of that in my head. Like, I'll never forget that. The guy could just reach through your chest and rip your heart out.
That was shocking at the time.
That was Jimmy Butler. Well,
that's before you knew everything from the preview. So as you're sitting in the theater, you were probably like a second grade kid, Ross. That must have been shocking to your system.
I was right around that age. Yeah, it was cool. It was a little cool, a little scary. That guy was very scary. All right, Ross, let's get to this draft here. So let's start with Nate Wiggins. You know, we were just talking about him about 10, 15 minutes ago. Daniel Jeremiah, very – so this is a cornerback from Clemson. The Eagles certainly could draft – I mean, when I say could, he's going to be around where the Eagles draft, and maybe he'll be their pick at 22 or thereabout. Daniel Jeremiah, very critical of his tackling ability and basically raising the I don't know if you want to go there flag because of the tackling. Is that nitpicky or is that a real concern?
Well, I think it's a real concern, but I would also say, you know, when you're picking at 22, guys, and this is, you know, obviously if the Eagles don't trade up, there's something wrong with all the guys. Like, you know, if they were a flawless prospect, they would go in the top 10 or at least top 15. So, I don't know. I mean, I've seen people that are not happy that he only weighs 170-some pounds. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing we heard from DeVonta Smith. And the guy just got a gigantic extension yesterday, which, by the way, is a very good sign for the Eagles organization, as always. But do I wish Wiggins was a better tackler? Yeah.
Let me just say this.
Maybe be a top 10 pick.
On DeVonta and Wiggins, though, for what it's worth, because it's an interesting comparison. DeVonta has proven in his 3 years here, while slender and slight, he is tough. Is Wiggins tough?
So there's two different things to me. There's tough, like, playing in games and playing through injury and not getting hurt. And then there's, do they really embrace the physical aspect of the game? I don't think that's a strength of Wiggins. I will say there's – and I heard the clip from Jeremiah, and I understand, but there's a lot of corners that don't really want to tackle. Mm-hmm. What they need to do – is make him a willing tackler. What I think is so fascinating about this, and we'll probably talk about this a lot in the preseason, the Eagles defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, I mean, he is an old school Northeast Pennsylvania Scranton Wilkes-Barre guy in his like 60s, if he's not in his 70s. I don't know that that's going to fly real well with him. And he's going to have a lot of input. If they're taking a corner in the first round, Fangio's going to have a lot of input, and I struggle picturing him. If he believes what Jeremiah just said, I struggle a little bit hearing Fangio sign off on that.
Yeah, that's interesting. So if you had your druthers, it sounds like you think if Fangio had his druthers and he has a choice between Ennis Rakestraw Jr. for a draft pick in the first round and Nate Wiggins, Nate Wiggins being the 4-2 guy who makes business decisions as a tackler, Ennis Rakestraw being the cornerback who you brought up on our show from Missouri, Ross, who is a ferocious tackler. The only problem is he ran a 4.51 in the 40. Which do you prefer? Which is better for today's NFL?
Yeah, so I would prefer, especially with where the Eagles are on their roster right now, I'd prefer the inside-outside versatility of Rakestraw and the tenacity, the physicality. But he's not going to give you the same upside as a guy like Wiggins. It's interesting, by the way. I was out last week, guys, at the NFL's broadcast boot camp, and I was getting some intel on Fangio from guys that were on the Dolphins last year, from guys that have played for him previously. And sort of the book on Fangio is he's not going to move these guys around that much. And that's actually one of the issues that Jalen Ramsey had last year in Miami. Jalen Ramsey wanted Fangio to move him around to different spots so that he could have a better chance to make plays. Whereas Fangio more was like, no, you're going to stay there, which I think is interesting as you start to talk about Slay and what the Eagles might do at corner. He's not the kind of D coordinator that likes to move these corners around.
Yeah, like feature the cornerback.
Yeah, he's not going to feature them.
Right.
And some of those guys are not going to like it because they feel like teams can avoid them then. And look, he's going to do what's best in his mind for the defense, not so that Jalen Ramsey can get some interceptions or whoever, or Slay for that matter.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, let's talk about the O-line as an area of need. And I'm curious your answer to how much of an area of need it is. So if Tyler Steen can start at guard, that makes it a lot more simple. Can he, in your opinion, effectively start at guard? And where do you balance need at O-line versus need at corner and safety and linebacker and defensive line?
So the interesting part about that to me is, like, isn't this exactly why they drafted Steen last year? This is exactly what we were told why they drafted Steen last year, to compete with Juergens to be the right guard and or to be the right guard and then eventually take over potentially for Lane at right tackle. I think on some level, let's just be honest, guys. If they take an offensive lineman in the first round, on some level, they're admitting that Steen was not a great high third round pick.
I would agree with that.
And that's okay. You know, third round picks, you can't, I mean, people want all these guys to start, all these guys to be good players. There's a bunch of third round picks in the NFL that never play a snap. We lose sight of that a lot. That's okay. If Steen is Jack Driscoll, if Steen is the backup guard tackle for the next 3 years on a rookie contract, there's still some value there. It would just be to me, I mean, he was a high third round pick. It'd be a little bit disappointing if that's the route that they go. I do think Steen could start at right guard. I guess it's interesting. I wasn't there every day. I just go based on what we saw in the preseason and those snaps he got. But it doesn't feel like we're hearing the same type of buzz about Steen behind the scenes. I mean, at a minimum, it seems very clear they're not giving Steen. Here's what I would say, Joe. They're going to take an O-lineman pretty high because it's pretty obvious they're not putting Steen at right guard and saying that guy's our starter. He's going to compete. So unless they think Hennessy is good enough to compete
what
with
about
Steen
Hennessy
at right guard, they're going to take a guy.
Is Hennessy good enough to compete to be a starter at right guard, Ross?
He is. Steen is like a – Steen's – I mean, I'm sorry. Hennessy's like a Wisniewski.
Yeah.
So a guy like Hennessy, okay, is the type of guy that if he starts, you're fine. He's not going to lose you the game. You're probably always going to wish you had better. Like, that was me. I mean, that was like 3 years in a row where when I was starting, the team was like, okay, yeah, Ross is fine. But how can we get somebody better? Right? Like, the team's always going to be trying to get someone better. That's Hennessy. So he'd be fine for a year, I think, especially in between Juergens, who I think is going to play very well at center, and Lane. I think Hennessy and Steen are the floor. And I think that the floor is probably an average guard.
But I
don't know that either one of them is going to be above average, which is what the Eagles are trying to have at every O-line spot.
Russ, I'm trying not to be a Pollyanna on this one, but I think people are missing it on Lane Johnson. I'm hearing a lot of talk about how the Eagles have to draft Lane's replacement. I don't buy it. Do you buy this, like, Lane Johnson could be a year or two away from being done thing?
Well, he said he's got a couple more years left. He is a phenomenal player. He's in ridiculous shape. I don't know if I've ever seen an offensive lineman look like him. I'm like, at 335 to have like rippled abs. I mean, it is bananas the way Lane looks in his physique. If he says he's got a couple more years left, I guess I would tend to trust him, which to your point, Joe, would make getting a Lane replacement a little more viable next year.
Absolutely. That's why I'm so tired of hearing about all the offensive linemen this year in the first round.
Well,
there's offensive linemen in the first round. Yeah, there's a lot of good tackles this year that can make you excited if you're looking for a tackle.
No. But, John, here's what I would say to what Joe just said. I will be disappointed if they take a guy that's a tackle only. In other words, the only way they take an O-lineman in the first round, Joe, is if he is going to start at right guard for this team and be an above-average starting right guard for this team this year and maybe next until Lane is done.
All right, Russ.
But there are guys like that in this
draft, this
first round. Multiple guys that fit that description.
I mean, let's be honest, Joe. I mean, I know you're not happy with the O-line thing, but if they took another Dickerson – except this guy plays guard and then goes out to tackle.
Sure.
Or if they took another Juergens.
Sean Andrews.
Except this guy plays guard and then goes out there. You would be happy. Like, if they got a Juergens or Dickerson at 22, which, by the way, they got both those guys in the second round.
Right.
That's pretty darn good.
All right, Ross, let's tackle the quarterback situation for a sec. It might be off a lot of people's radar, but not me. Will you be shocked? I'm wondering how much their doubt has set in on Jalen. Will you be shocked if they take a QB in the second or third round?
Absolutely. That is not happening.
Kenny Pickett.
Even though it happened 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever year it was?
Correct. I don't think they have any doubt in Hurts yet. He's really only the first year into that big extension. Last year was still the last year of his rookie contract, even though they'd given him the deal. They brought in Pickett, who's under contract cheaply for 2 more years. They can actually have him for three more if they want it. And I think we forget, you know, the Tanner McKee kid was kind of awesome in the preseason last year. I was actually a little bit surprised. I thought there was a chance, based on what McKee did in the preseason, that they would say, you know what, let's save money, let's save draft picks, and let's have McKee as the number two. But you know the history of this organization. They're just never going to do that. They're always going to have three guys that they feel good about.
All right, Ross, last thing here. So I'm psyched the Eagles locked up Devontae. Especially with the way that season ended. I mean, Devontae is very high on my list for my most favorite Eagles. I mean, he was, to me, the best player the Eagles had in the playoff game by far. Maybe the only guy. So I'm psyched he's going to be here for a long time. But immediately, Ross, upon that news, my mind went to, what does this mean for A.J. Brown's future in Philadelphia? What is your – because it's a lot of money if you're going to give A.J. a new contract in a couple of years. What is your opinion of the Devontae signing and what it means for A.J. Brown's future in Philly?
Well, first of all, I echo your sentiments about signing Devontae Smith now. This is why the Eagles are the Eagles. Think about Brandon Ayuk is having issues in San Francisco. He wants to trade. CeeDee Lamb's not showing up. The Vikings have a mess on their hands with Justin Jefferson now because they don't have a quarterback and they haven't gotten him signed.
Micah Parsons isn't showing up either.
Yeah, the Cowboys are – they might be the worst contract team in the league.
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. But they have Dak on a terrible Dak's cap
and they
is like
redid him,
million
and they only saved
year.
Themselves $5 million.
It's insane.
Wow.
So, but here's the thing. These guys, all the guys – T. Higgins, Joe, I just named four receivers that are all going to – I'm guaranteeing they get contracts in one way or another – over the next year, they're all going to get more than the Devontae Smith $25 million a year in new money average. So the Eagles just saved themselves a bunch of money by doing it now. I think A.J. Brown will be fine for the next couple years. He's not going to see that. You know, in 2026, I think his cap number, Joe, is like $41 million or something. So A.J.'s fine this year. I think he'll be fine next year. The rubber's going to meet the road on A.J. Brown after 2025. His salary that year is $30 million. Although, you know what? At that point in 2026, $30 million might be at a palatable salary. It won't be. $41 million on the cap is too much. So they'll either extend him because he'll still only be 29, or that will be time to move on from him. And my guess is, if that's time to move on from him, they will have taken another receiver over the next couple years. And one more thing I got to point out, Joe, because this is huge. I was talking with the GM of a very good team recently. And
that's the Bills GM.
Well, I'm not going to say.
No, I'm sniffing it out here.
But listen.
No, it's the, let's see. Take a guess, Saucer. He's talking to John Lynch, the 49ers GM. No, I'm sorry, Roscoe. I'm just
No. Right, but the Eagles need to Eagles fans need to realize this. That GM told me that the Eagles cash budget, we talk all the time about the salary cap, but if you actually talk to teams and GMs and team presidents, the owner says, here's what I'm willing to spend this year in cash, in actual cash. That GM told me that the Eagles spend $20 million more in cash per year than he's allowed to.
Look, Lurie's a great owner. I mean,
he is
no
fantastic.
Way around it.
Now, I also say this too, Joe. Some of that is that the Eagles fans are amazing and, you know, the local revenue, you know, the ticket sales and the merchandise and all that stuff. But the Eagles are willing to spend $20 million more a year than this team, because I was kind of busting that GM's chops for the Eagles getting all these contracts done. And he said, well, I wish I had the $20 million more in cash that the Eagles are allowed to spend that I'm not.
Wow.
So keep that in mind for Lori whenever we talk about the Eagles. It's an advantage, but which, by the way, it's an advantage that the Cowboys should have a gigantic one, and they don't use it because I have no idea why.
Fascinating. Hey, Ross, great stuff on the draft and the whole shebang. Ross is always brought to us, of course, as an Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls presented by BetQL. Download the free BetQL app. Do it now. Get instant access to the industry's most advanced suite of sports betting tools right at your fingertips. Obviously, Ross, we'll have you on again next week right before the draft. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Talk to you guys next
Good
week.
Stuff.